friend, this is Crystal, the queen of Philippine wrestling, and I'm here with Get Your Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is TJP, otherwise known as TJ Perkins, otherwise known as the Cruiser Great, otherwise known as the Phil and Flash, and you guys are listening to Get Your Podcast.
Get Your Podcast!
Yo, 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 yo! The Get Your Podcast crew is here. You got your homie, Juss.
What's up? It's Jay.
And you got Charlie.
This music, man.
I feel like Akeem to African Dreams coming down to the ring.
I feel like the Mighty Mighty Boston might have had like a more killer vibe after their prime.
Well, I had to find music that was similar to the Raw Underground, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, just find porn music.
Yeah, I felt like they were replaying Razor Ramon's theme over and over again while they fight.
Yeah, man. I mean, you could tell the most money that they spent was like on that pyro smoke. That every time Shane McMahon appeared, it's like, oh, forget Alistair Black. We'll just use it for Shane McMahon.
They definitely didn't spend it on the strippers.
Yo, amateur night. Yo, don't get mad at the amateur night.
And you guys got a girlfriend? The job?
That was that big dude. That what's his name? Gorgito? I don't know the name.
Something Kato, right?
Kato, like one of them was his girlfriend, and the other one was like his sister.
Check out my Snapchat, private Snapchat.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about with that. But yeah, come to think of it, maybe the most money they spent might have been on unless that was Titus O'Neil as the bouncer. I mean, I guess they had to hire that bouncer and then the actor bringing in the coffee.
They big ass bouncer. It's probably like the guy that like already works at Full Sail University. They're like, hey man, do you think you could just after your shift, yeah. Our security guard.
Like after you're done like fixing the lights and not using a ladder, can you help us out?
Hey, after you're done cleaning all this piss on the ground in the bathroom, can you like just stand outside the Raw Underground and just like look tough? We'll throw you $20. Throw you $20.
For real. And then who do they pay? Who do they pay for that one extra that jumped in during the Hurt Locker business? That one dude that looked like broke ass Jason Crowder.
Who's that?
I forgot the guy that looks like Crowder from the Cavs. He used to play on the Cavs with the dreads.
Oh, Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder. Oh, okay. Crowder.
Yeah.
The one dude that, like, remember, like, he had that weird dress pants? And he was, like, trying to fight up in there? Anyway.
Wait, you're talking about I'm talking about the guy. Oh, the guy with the dreads. He was light-skinned, though. He looked more like Michael Ruffin, but dreads.
Oh, okay.
Or Popeye Jones. Popeye Jones.
Eddie Gordon.
Talk about a real punchable face. Michael Ruffin.
Michael Ruffin.
Shout out to the Chicago Bulls. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Shout out to Donald Marshall. Shout out to Donald Marshall.
Danielle Marshall. Ludacris. Stand up.
There you go. Should we bring it back and roll out to the next segment? Or we're gonna talk about like a lot more later.
Okay. Yeah, we will. But first, that was a good segue to the NBA. Guys, I know NBA started last week. What are your guys' thoughts that the NBA has been going on for a week? For me, I think it's kind of amazing that none of them look rusty. To me, I think the gameplay is a lot easier to watch. There's a lot flow to the game. Like, there's less timeouts, I think. To me, like, it's pretty amazing that, like, the games are pretty competitive. I thought there was going to be a lot of, like, slack and a lot of people can't, like, you know, get in shape. But, yo, I've been enjoying the game so far.
Yeah, you'd think we'd see a lot of Sean Kemps out there, just people who gain, like, 20 pounds each. But, you know, these guys are professionals. And honestly, that, you know, that time off, that's given a lot of time of rest for all those superstars. Well, look at James Harden is playing defense now, like.
Yeah, exactly.
James Harden's talking about defense in interviews. Like, he has a lot of energy. Everyone has, like, a new focus now that they're kind of past this shelter-at-home thing. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch. Devin Booker's been killing it. Dame,
yeah.
The Blazers are making noise. So.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the debut of Lou Williams. because he's probably feeling really good right now. So,
yeah, he himself had extra quarantine days. He had like extra 30 days for
a
just
lot
getting
more rest.
I mean, I understand that he had to go to a funeral, and they let him go. They let him. They told him that, like, be careful and blah blah blah. They let him go, and they were gonna give him like a 7-day quarantine when he came back. But I understand when you're back in your neighborhood, you had to go get some real food because the food at Disney is shitty. But did you have to take a picture with the fried chicken too?
Oh, funeral. Where's the funeral at? The strip club? I didn't know that he had left for a funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he just snuck out.
No, he went to go to a funeral, and they allowed him to go. But then he took a picture with a fan when he was trying to get food.
Oh man, you got to know better.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then that picture leaked out to to the NBA, you know, people, and so you know the NBA, man, they're like, who's watching you? Definitely, they're like the watchmen. And so like you know, that's he got an extra like 14, whatever, 20 days.
Well, at least, I mean, he's going to go to the doctor. He went to the doctor for sure for COVID, but at least he can, you know, kill two birds with one stone. His doctor's going to check him for COVID, herpes, chlamydia. I mean, he did come from there, so you might as well check him out.
They gave him the Dwight Howard special. I mean, seriously, how low can you go?
I don't know. Maybe they heard the Iconics theme as part of one of the stripper songs that we're talking about.
Oh, good shit. Good shit. Yeah.
That's good shit. Yeah. But yeah,
golf has been back. You know, the major PGA championship is back. You know, big things popping.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm waiting to see like Zordon's face in the background. You know, like, you know how like when the fans are playing NBA and like, you know, they have those pictures of the people in the background, like in their webcams and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting for someone to like, you know, like, I don't know. Cause like, are these people really sitting there in front of their TV screens, are their computer screens while they get taped like the whole time?
How does that work?
I don't know either, but I mean, like, I'm just waiting for someone to like do like a cross promotion with Chatterbait. And like fucking like, you know. so it's like, you know, every time like Dwight Howard hits a free throw, like the girl's vibrator goes up for 3 seconds, you know. So that means,
okay, you know what?
What's up?
That brings up a good idea. So what if we had a get-show, I mean, I don't know how much it's probably gonna cost a fortune, but getting a get-show wrestling our logo as one of the signs in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Because imagine, you know, the basketball community would, you know, obviously relates to getcho, the term getcho.
Right.
Because they probably say it all the time on the court. You know when Russell Westbrook, he's about to shoot a three. You know, the guy guarding him is like, getcho, broke ass shot.
Another pull-up three, you know? Russell, really?
Wait, we should look at that. To see, like, maybe if this is a possible thing to do, you know what I mean? Like, man, Dwight Howard, get show. Cut your hair, man.
That or, you know, when you see ball, you know, you see ball running up the court, man, get your scrawny ass trying to be playing inside.
You see, Siakam, like, trying to, like, set up an isolation crossover dribble, but it just dribbles out of bounds. Like, get show. Lengthy ass trying to do this.
I could watch Bol Bol all day, though. I'm sorry. He could take like 5 steps. He's already like playing defense. You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Get your giraffe looking mother.
No, actually, I had to say a get show because actually the Nuggets are playing and Michael Porter Jr. actually scored 37 points.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And they're all like, oh, is Michael Porter Jr. back? It's like, get show. Dude, everyone was out that game. Everyone was injured. Somebody got a score. All right, sorry. Too much basketball talk.
Yeah, it's all good. We that's our sport.
Yeah.
That's true.
Moving on another
good idea.
Sports entertainment. WrestleHaps? Or you guys want to go winner and losers?
Oh, well, yeah, let's go winner or losers. I'll go last because I forgot to think of one.
Justin, you want to take the lead?
Yeah, I'll take the lead. For winners, I gotta say you know, I know this is gonna be, this is gonna sound kind of crazy, but for winners, I gotta go with Rhea Ripley and Dakota Kai.
Hey,
I know it's kind of crazy. I didn't think that their match was gonna be that good, just because I don't think Dakota Kai is that great of a wrestler. But she showed me something. She showed me that she can hang with Rhea Ripley, and she actually improved a lot in her wrestling skills. And I was into that match, man. I thought that was probably one of the top three matches of the week. Yo, Rhea Ripley looks good. She's ready to get that title. I hate like these finishes that they've been doing though lately on like on Raw, SmackDown, and now NXT. Like every time that there's a really good match with two really good competitors, they just like do this stupid ass finish with somebody interrupting them, you know?
Yeah.
But it shows that Dakota Kai is going to move on to probably get her ass beat by Io Shirai.
she gets the honor of getting her ass beat.
Right, and then if they're just prolonging the Io Shirai Rhea Ripley match until, I don't know, 2021 or something like that, and she's moving on
from to Katie
Martinez. So I like where the stories are going. NXT, the women's division, is on fire. You know, they've always been, you know, having great matches. So to me, Rhea Ripley and Dakota Kai are winners of the week. Losers of the week, though, on the flip side, you know, AEW does not show any of their women. They were hyping up this tag team cup that they got going on. They got us all excited, thinking about what tag teams we're going to see, what possible matches we're going to see, and it wasn't on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I know they have another show called AEW Dark, but, yo, nobody's watching that, really. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, that's on a Tuesday. Who's going to be watching that? It's on YouTube. Like, there's no advertisement. Like, you advertised it as if something's going to happen on AEW Dynamite. And to me, I think if they had at least two of those tag team matches, it would have been more enjoyable to watch than that 12-man tag team match we had to start off the show.
Ooh, okay. Shots fired.
Lost. They lost. The losers of the week, AEW.
No, I agree. Like, I actually agree. Like, I was actually thinking about them being my losers of the week too, just because, like I don't know. I was a little on them because they did it. They made it like they call it the deadly draw, where they have like, it's sort of like the battle bowl, if you guys remember your WCW, where it's like people like randomly pick their teams.
Right. Yeah.
So they're doing that, and like, you know, that was all excited because, you know, with the battle bowl, like, you get like misfit teams, and like, it's fun to see like. Mm-hmm. Have like, you know, like butt heads, or like a team that you don't like necessarily think would be good together turn out to be really good. You know,
it's a bunch of odd couples. It's like a bunch of odd couples.
Yeah. So they did that, and like, you know, they already like kind of like undercut themselves by making the Nightmare Sisters still a team anyway. You know, it's sort of like, okay, you know, it's like,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you're gonna make this a random thing, just make it a random thing. Like, shit, you know. But I don't know. But they were not my losers of the week. My loser of the week is actually my loser. I'll go with my winner first. Let's start positive. My winner of the week is actually the writers of Raw.
Ah.
I know. Like,
okay. No. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. A lot of people on Twitter were like killing Raw, but like, I'm gonna say I liked it, because here's why I liked it. It's because like with Raw, like they did like. They at least did something different. They already know their raids are tanking, so they're trying something new. So it's like, you know, I appreciate that. And like, you know, I like new stables. So like, you know, how they have this new stable coming out now where it looks like a bunch of like white Antifa kids like breaking shit, even though it has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. You know, they got that crew.
Yeah,
those fuckers. So like, you know, now you want to know who they are. You know, you're creating.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like the Dominic versus Seth angle, especially having Joe stick up for or Tom Phillips or.
Tom Phillips.
So then, what else? I like the whole like Orton versus Drew. Like, you know, just put those two together. No storyline, just have them bitch at each other. You know, like, mm-hmm. And it was Raw overall. Like, you know, the underground thing we'll talk about a little more. I mm-hmm. thought it was – I just liked it because it was different. You know, I don't want to see that shit every week, but it was something new. Like, I was like, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. So I'm going to give the winner to this week to Raw Riders.
Okay, I like that. I like it. Because I agree with you a little bit. Well, I mean, we'll get back into it, but I agree with you a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and the writers too, I mean, like you said, it's different, and we're talking about it. So that's kind of the goal. I mean, it may not be the best, but, hey, it's got people – getting people to talk about it, and that's kind of the goal they wanted, I feel. My winner of the week is going to become a trend. The winner of the week is whoever faces Cody Rhodes for the whoever faces Cody Rhodes on Dynamite. Because we had Mark Quinn, we had Eddie Kingston, we had Sonny Kiss, and then it even went as further down as the Minions of the Dark Order even doing well against Cody and Matt Cardona. I mean, what's his name? John Silver and the other guy, they're just both like under 5'5". But
yeah.
I did like, I mean, they even showed their skill. They had some good double like tag team combinations against Matt Cardona. And
yeah.
And usually these guys are getting beat up all the time. You know, they're always the front line of defense whenever the Dark Order tries to interrupt things and they get beat up. So
Operation
glad for those. Glad for the Minions to get some shine. So they're the winners. And loser of the week is Shane McMahon. So we'll go into Raw right now. But for Shane, imagine going back to work and be like, oh, I'm so rejuvenated, guys. Back to work. I'm excited. So what's next? What am I doing? You're going to do the Raw Underground, this fake-ass fight club. You're going to pretend that you're excited about this fake-ass fight club with a ring with no ropes. It's like, oh, okay. But yeah, loser of the week is Shane McMahon, because although Raw was interesting, got people to talk about it, I'm sure it wasn't something that he envisioned, like, I don't know. It probably wasn't a great idea, I thought, in his mind, but let's get into Raw, and it's probably like, the busiest and weirdest Raws ever. And, like, I have more emphasis on busy, because there's so much happened. Like, Raw Underground happened, that was a big thing, but, like, so much more, you know, like the that random girl from The Bachelor was there to like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Garza. You got Montez Ford passing out. You got the Riot Squad back together. Seth Rollins, you mentioned Charlie lashing out on Tom Phillips. Dominic finally doing a wrestling move, doing the 619. Like
no sign.
Where should we start? Where do you want to start?
AEW.
So before
okay. let's save on the ground for a little bit, like towards the end. But like, I want to start off with the Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton promo and the build for their match at SummerSlam. Is this the first time where the legitimate angle is coworker versus coworker?
Essentially, they all are, right? I don't like. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they're just like, it's just Drew McIntyre is using like how like he just first came on the scene and he's looking for advice from Randy Orton, and instead he was just an asshole about it and didn't help anybody, you know, bring him up to his level, didn't give any advice. Like, he was just pretty much a douchebag. And it's just like, you know, when you're entering a new job and like a new guy there, you know, he should be helping you out, but really he's just trying to make himself look good. And now all of a sudden you're like the best coworker there. So I was like, it's kind of like, who is the best worker for WWE? I kind of like it. I kind of like how like it's talking shit about Randy Orton, and it's real. You know, everybody knows that Randy Orton's a douchebag. We talked about it before. And I like the angle that they're using for this match. Drew McIntyre, man, on the mic. Who would have thought, man? This guy's like every time he's on the mic, man, he's doing really well.
Yeah, I agree. I like the authenticity of it. I like how he brought up, you know, an example about how he brought up Undertaker's documentary. Orton leaned on Undertaker to help him out, to get him with help more, get where he's at. And Orton didn't really reciprocate that to the other wrestlers who came in after him. So that's kind of what Drew McIntyre was bringing up. And I kind of feel like that's right. I feel like Randy Orton is an asshole, and it's not someone I feel is like behind the scenes. That's just my assumption. He doesn't, you know, it's kind of selfish. So I like that. I do like the storyline a lot.
I would have just laughed if he was like, I didn't watch the documentary. I was watching Chrisley's Knows Best. You know, I'm not watching this shit. But no, I agree with you. I thought like the office when it's like kind of real, it just comes off so much better on TV. And like, I think the big thing is like, you know, Orton's always good at like building his matches, but like, and then being good on the mic, and Drew matched him and Drew hung with him. And it just works so well. Cause like, you know, when you're watching something like this, shit's good, you know, they still have more weeks of build. So like, this is just the beginning of it. So you don't know what they're going to do with each other after this. So like, I'm hyped about it. And like, it was a great segment.
Yeah, I like that. I like they both can play off of each other, and it's not like, you know, when The Rock was making fun of, like, when The Rock and The Big Show had a feud. The Rock was basically, it was basically one-sided. The Rock killing The Big Show. Big Show just said, "I'll pummel you," or something really corny like that. So I like that they can play off each other. Another thing is this, the Riot Squad being back there. That's what I want to touch on. Because honestly, I was going to mention this as my winner of the week, because Bianca Belair would be the second winner of the week. Because now that she's off this Ruby thing, there's a thing that she was going to be with Ruby as a tag team, which I thought I liked. But now that Ruby's with Liv Morgan, which doesn't make sense, now they're back, Riot Squad back together, and they could just move on to be the female Ascension. But really, Bianca Belair feuding with Zelina now, and with this whole Montez Ford, Andrade thing, like, it's a way better storyline for her than whatever she was going to do with Ruby Riot. So,
yes. Yep. Shout out to her. Exactly. And, like, Zelina could play on the whole, like, heel where she's just trying to, like, just get out of a match and just kind of, like, you know, she doesn't have to really wrestle too much, where Bianca Belair is just trying to chase her just to beat her down. So I like that. Like, I mean, and plus the two of them are good on the mic. So props to them.
I like that they're back together. I'm talking about Liv and Ruby because, like going back to what we were talking about earlier, like, you know, when you're using realism, and you can tell, like, you know, these two are, like, they're actually good friends. You could, like, they got the same tattoos, and, like, you know, like, they're, like, on social media, they're always hanging out. So you know that they're going to have chemistry with each other. And then, yeah, so it's, like, it's nice to see, like, they have some direction for Liv and Riot. So I'm happy for them. I mean, like, she did talk about Liv Morgan's tattoo. I know she's got a Charlie B tattoo somewhere on her ass too, but
oh.
Just saying, you know, like that's a scoop. So if you guys are, like, it's not fake news. It's on the internet, so it's real. So I'm happy for them, and, like, same thing. Like, Bianca Belair it's way better when she's with the Street Profits. You know, it's something more meaningful for her.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and thinking, like, yeah, it's kind of funny with Bianca saying, like, "Oh, did you drug my husband? Did you drug my husband?" Is Zelina? It's funny. I thought Zelina was gonna be like, "I really want to profit off Montez Ford's."
Nipple.
No, but it's like, I'm stuck with Aleister Black. I want to try.
Real black.
Not just name. It's like, oh my God, Steve Blackman just DM'd me.
He's like, "I want to try that built Ford tough, if you know what I mean."
"I want to have that drink in the cup, if you know what I mean."
I want to sip it all up. Montez knows what I'm talking about.
I just want to blow the smoke. But shout out to Selena Vega, looking like Midsummer.
Oh my God, she was trying to bite off Aaliyah's Queen of the Damned.
Hell no, I didn't think of that.
Get show on her. I mean, she looked good though, but
yeah.
I mean, I'd save that for a show where you're around with an audience. You know, it's like, if you're gonna cosplay and like a big entrance, just like do it during the pandemic. I don't know, but yeah, I'll add on. She looked great, but
she looked great. I'm pretty sure something rises in Aleister Black, just how he rises in his entrance.
What else in Raw do you want to do?
Okay, real quick, I want to talk about the Sasha Banks Shayna Baszler match. That was like, why did they save that? They could have just saved it, but, like, they had to put it on Raw. And, like, yeah, of course, the two had a really good match. But you knew that the finish was going to be messed up, you know? And it's like, I don't understand, like, why is Raw not building on these matches instead of just giving it away right away, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say that, you know, Shayna was unnecessary, like you mentioned. Like, she even basically said that to Asuka. "After you win, Asuka, I'm rooting for you. Then I'll go after you." Just like, well, you could have just waited to say that after she actually won it. And
right.
You should do your own feud with her. But I guess she needed airtime. She needed to be relevant. She showed up on she showed up on Raw, like, I think her her debut, like, a few weeks ago, which is not so, she's got to be relevant somewhere, so.
Yeah.
Kind of unnecessary, though, I agree. Charlie, what were you going to say?
No, just I'm just happy to see Shayna Baszler on TV. Like, you know, screw it, you know. Like, yeah. You're right. It's like kind of like, it's like that would be a money match where you'd want to, like, build down the line. But then I guess, like, you know, if they're going to make it a cold match, at least they didn't have a straight ending, you know. Like,
true.
Yes, leave the clean finish or whatever, like the finale for a match that's actually been built up for like a month or so.
Right.
Yep.
Right. All right. So let's talk about the Underground now. So honestly, so where do I start? I'm gonna say, so first of all, I wanna bring up, so I'm gonna have a little bit of less topics for last call because I'm gonna bring some up now. So apparently, Josh Barnett and EC3 called out WWE for stealing that idea. Josh Barnett has Bloodsport, which is the same shoot style wrestling fighting. So on Twitter, he wrote, "Still, I'm flattered and glad that they see the desire that exists for what we do. Only thing that I can't recreate is the most important element, me." And then EC3 said, "Some of this video content looked the same as when he was being promoted on WWE, like the same type of like video." So EC3 is, you know, tweeted out saying that his career is being plagiarized even after he left the WWE. So some accusations there. So, but
was
yeah,
was he getting his ass eaten by minorities and his ass or something? Like, fuck.
But was his ass getting thrown around by Bobby Lashley?
Yeah.
I want to start off with that, but also a small thing. Did you see that Underground ref though? He's just all he was. He just wore all black, the black shirt and the black gloves. Like all he had to do is paint his face blue. And he's part of the Blue Man Group. That's what kind of shit. What kind of outfit?
The ref was only there for like the last segment of the whole thing. I didn't even know there was a ref.
I didn't know street fights had refs.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know Underground had an official. Like, because the whole time it was Shane McMahon, like, okay, he won, get him out of here. He won.
Yeah,
so it's like, is Shane McMahon just the guy that, like, gives the results? Like, whenever some guy thinks that he looks like they're dying, just get him out of there?
No, dude, he was doing his best Tango Cash. You're like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, from Rucker Park? That's my grandson right there. That's my godson. He started giving them, like nicknames and shit. Like, that guy's the bleeder. He was doing his broke. I would have rather seen Tango Clash be do the commentary because it was awkward. Like, you know, it's like it just was misplaced. You know what I'm saying? Like you see all these fights and you just hear like one guy randomly on the mic like, oh, he's good. You know, it's like
yeah. He was like Smokey from Friday. He's like, you got knocked the fuck out, man.
It was just out there.
Like literally in the ring, like when somebody's like literally getting choked out. It's like, oh, okay, he's done.
I don't know. It was just odd. That's all I gotta say. It was really odd. But I could sort of agree with Barnett because like I watched like all of Barnett's like his I watched both his Bloodsport events and I really like it because it's like but the difference with Barnett's is that he uses wrestlers who's got MMA backgrounds. So these guys are actually doing like real MMA transitions and using them within the context of a wrestling match. So that's why they're hybrid MMA style is actually pretty good, and like that's why I don't even see it as biting, like, you know, copying Bloodsport because it wasn't any good. So
yeah, you're like embarrassed. So.
Yeah. So are you gonna copy them when it's like it wasn't good? So you know, don't worry about it. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I will vouch for Barnett. Actually, the funny thing is the first Bloodsport was actually head by Matt Riddle.
Mm. Yes. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So I would actually highly recommend those matches because they were actually pretty fun. Because like some of them were really good. And Karrion Kross was Karrion. That's his name, right? Yeah. Karrion Kross was in I think the first Bloodsport with Josh Barnett when he went against Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh, thick okay.
Ass match. It was actually really good. You could actually see Karrion Kross actually like do in a competitive style fight. So that was my shit. That's why I actually like this idea because I like Bloodsport, but I mean it's just all in the execution right now. Kind of sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
the execution was poor.
I don't understand. The one thing I don't understand is like, how can EC3 be mad? Like, how did he say how like? If you remember his vignettes, like, it was nowhere near close to this Raw Underground. Like, the guy was in a hotel unbuttoning his shirt.
Yeah.
That was his vignette. That was his video. Like, that is nothing that Raw Underground is. I mean, unless he's confused with, like, another type of underground. You know what I mean? Mm. Oh, I'm EC3. I don't just get Raw. I get Underground Raw. And then he uses that three fingers to put what? I don't know. In his ass? I don't know.
But the moves, though, is just like a regular... It's as if they told the guys, like, the actor, the wrestlers are like, all right, just learn Mankind's basic moveset.
Yeah.
And just, like, fight, just, you know, fight on the ground. It's like nothing, is nothing really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least I can imagine Bloodsport with Josh Barnett being, you know, a UFC veteran, jiu-jitsu black belt, that he would teach these guys some, you know, funny, like, fun transitions and things that would, you know, get the audience surprised. But this was just, like, people just slugging at each other, and it was fake, so it's like, it was just lame.
Yeah, and Dolph Ziggler was there, so there's nothing Bloodsport about it.
Right. And then how did the Hurt Business just take over the Underground like that? Because it's like Shane is basically his boss. And then the Hurt Business just came in, just like, oh, started beating up people. I don't know where Shane was at the end. And then you just see all of them stand in the ring with that formal wear on.
Yeah. Looking like a, like a Jose Bates commercial?
Yeah, right. Looking like a Burlington Coat Factory commercial right there. I mean, that's a great J.C. Penney right there. J.C. Penney commercial.
Brooks Brothers.
But, man, I mean, it's cool, though, because, like, we'll see how the Hurt Business, I mean, the Hurt, that's right up their alley, the Hurt Business, but it's an underground thing. Mm-hmm. They're trying to go a little urban, you know, urban feel to it.
And that's the part that I'm annoyed with, right? It like, I don't know what their demographic really is that watches Raw, but it's like, you know, if you're trying to get a certain culture of people to watch WWE Raw, must you go the Raw Underground route? You know, you're having, like, hip-hop music in the back, strippers, you know what I'm saying, just brawling, fighting. It's like, what are you what's the real message you're trying to get at?
I know.
It's just basically taking a big pile of shit and throwing it up against the wall and see if it stays there.
You know, and then Shane McMahon over there, like, oh, yeah, keep dancing. He's like, dude, you're, like, the worst person to go to the stripper with.
I'd still go with him. He'd have a lot of money. I mean, like...
Right, he wasn't doing it, cheap bastard. He wasn't doing anything over there. Yeah,
Oh, Underground. Well, I mean, I'm actually very excited to see what's going to be on next Raw, which I haven't said in a while. So,
yeah. For me, maybe next week it's going to be like a You Got Served type of scenario that shows up at Underground, you know?
Hey, someone like tagged this and like, yeah. I need WWE to do this. Do this idea.
To do a You Got Served type of thing, you know.
And then the week after that, it's gonna be like, it's like, you know, biting off the success of Hamilton. It's gonna be WWE the musical.
No, man, it's gonna be 8 Mile, man. The next one's gonna be 8 Mile. You have like Free World and Beat Rabbit.
Are they gonna bring back Fat Man Scoop for the? breathe in, breathe out.
All of a sudden, you have Dolph Ziggler. Maybe they're gonna have Dolph Ziggler and Igar from Viking Raiders. You're gonna have like a match, right? They're having a match, and then Little Kim shows up. Like, I want this to be straight good.
Igar, and they'll just like yell like he always does. AEW, well, should we move on to AEW? It had its little bit of its own surprises because Eric Bischoff appeared.
Oh, yep.
Yep. And then Orange Cassidy talked. But I want to say my biggest takeaway, I mentioned that Cody Rhodes, you know, bringing, you know, helping getting people over. But honestly, MJF. MJF is the highlight of AEW. Yep. He is the man. He is the best. And just, I don't know. I think he's just gold. And I think he's, I think he's his wrestling's up there too, and his mouth.
Hey. And,
and you know, if, you know, the thing at the end too, what if Darby Allin wins? Oh, the 125-pound emo kid? Yeah, let's hope or something. He's just hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's very quick-witted with his responses. You know what I mean? It's like, It's like he uses like his real distaste for some of the wrestlers as like a positive. Like, who knows? Maybe that's how he really feels about some of these people. But like the whole campaigning thing, I mean, I like how AEW is really going with the idea of him trying to be like a president or whatever, or like they're really like when he does a segment, he goes all out. It's 100% like, you know, they're going to fully commit to it, you know, and I like that. And he really goes straight off the right when he starts speaking, like it's just straight money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, I feel some of it, like some of that is off the cuff too, in my opinion. I don't know. Like when he came over to yeah. Lee Johnson, when he was making fun of the picture frame not being balanced or not being even, and he like did like a high leg like skip over to Lee Johnson, was like accusing him. It's good, man.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good.
Well, another thing that I really liked was a championship match, and I'm not saying I haven't been a fan of Jon Moxley's like championship matches, but I feel like there's always another match or two that I like better than his. I feel like this time around, the championship match was the match of the night. And that helped with the help, you know, Darby Allin did a lot of work too, you know, selling those moves, taking all those bumps, always exciting. That coffin drop into that little rear end of the choke was crazy. But, however, did you see that move? Like, Jon Moxley had to have been wearing a cup during that move. That's like all of Darby Allin's back just crashing onto his balls. But how are you going to let someone jump off the top rope and smash your balls like that? So he's got to be wearing a cup. But,
yeah, there's a little coughing on his balls right there.
He's like, I don't
know. I'm used to this with Renee. Yeah, it's no problem.
I do too. Renee, we call him the just, dirty dude. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, is it just me? Like, because, like, during this point, I was kind of flipping through the channels, and first thing I saw was, you know, Darby Allin versus Moxley. And first thing I thought, I was like, this looks like a deleted scene from American History X. You know, it's like, it looks like they're like settling an argument in a clan meeting, you know, like these two guys. Just the way they're dressed.
It's like the rookie member is trying to get accepted, but he does something, so he has to get punished by like the higher guard member. I don't know. I'm not that I know about these things you're saying. You know.
It's like after this ass kicking, Edward Norton's gonna come out and beat your ass too, but.
Fight the team.
Sorry, but no, it was like, yeah, I like this match like a whole lot. It was definitely my favorite match of the night. And same thing, what added to it too was like I like the smart booking with MJF where he comes out. I wish I saw this more. Where like the heels, like, you know, they choose who they want to go against, so they're gonna help the guy that they think is weaker to win the match. You know, I like that. You know, with his interference, trying to get the Darby to win. So I like that a lot. And like and it could add to the suit. Like it could make a thing between Darby Allin and MJF. Like say, hey, you wanted to face me? Like you really think that I was a weak link? I'll show you. And then just start like a feud from there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, which also would be a really good watch as well. Which would be good watch as well. the one thing I gotta say though, like I wish that it started off with, because I like how AEW usually starts off with Cody Rhodes defending his U.S. title. I wish they kind of kept that scenario going, even though it's like he was in a tag team, but to at least start off with Cody. Because to me, that was kind of the best match of, well, other than maybe the title match. But to me, I thought that was the best tag match of the night was with Cody and his bro, Zack Ryder, a.k.a. Matt Cardona. I thought that was a good match.
I have to interject real quick. Because who is going to be next? Because, like, if they're really going to go to the Dark Order of Minions, I mean, I kind of like this because you feature someone new every week and you never know who it's going to be. But honestly, I'm curious who's going to be next. Because, like, is it going to be, like, Angelico? Like, seriously, if you're going to go with John Silver, then. Or you're going to go with Luther? Luther, that one fat guy with, like, the dots on his forehead?
I think they already announced who they're he's facing next week.
Oh yeah,
this Scorpio Sky.
Yeah, Scorpio Sky.
Oh, nice. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's gonna be great.
We'll get you on that. Like Scorpio Sky had to come out and make his presence, and then just tap on the U.S. title, and then walk away, and then walk back. Like,
you know, in real life, you could have just waited till he actually got backstage, and then like not. Show your face for like 2 seconds and then walk back.
Make the extra, take the extra stairs up the ramp, and then just to take it back.
Oh god. We have to go to the biggest get show though. Was the Matt Hardy Sammy Guevara incident?
Oof. Oh,
yeah. So it was reported that Sammy Guevara botched the whole thing. He threw the wrong chair at Matt Hardy and threw the actual real chair, which bloodied him up on his forehead, and he required 13 stitches.
Oh.
And it was also reported that he took a lot of backstage heat, as rightfully so. A lot of people were mad, and yeah, it was reported that he got a lot of people giving him shit, or people getting pissed off at him backstage.
Well,
so, yeah, Sammy, man. First the Sasha thing, and then this. Come on, man.
Looks like he's going back to that program again. It's like out of there now. He's going right back.
It's like now he's got to take that class of finding the right chair to throw at people.
He's wrestling Lindsay Lohan right now.
But honestly, he should have just thought of something better on the fly. I mean, if I guess there was a spot they were supposed to throw the chair, and that was supposed to lead for him to be on the table. Like, but you should have improvised better than just, I'll just throw a random chair at you. You should have just said, fuck it with the chairs. I can't find the shitty chair to throw. I'm just going to avoid this chair and just beat your ass and put you on the table. Like, you should have just done that.
Right. Because that makes sense, because when he was getting dragged out to the table, I thought that Matt Hardy looked like he was just doing a lot of extra stumbling, but I guess he was really laid out.
If you need 13 stitches in your forehead, I think he's probably like semi-concussed, too.
Yeah.
But Sammy, man.
He probably felt like he was woken.
After he got the stitches, he was probably like, this is nothing. I'm Team Extreme.
Probably thought he was still working for Vince. Now they know that they gotta dumb down these spots for Sammy Guevara, because like, you know, it's like he didn't like have the wherewithal to like fucking find the right chair, you know. So it's like next time they do something like this, they just have to put like sparkles on the chair and say it's like it's a Sonny Kiss's chair or some shit, you know. So just like make it foolproof. Or they're gonna have to like give him a Nerf fucking chair. Hey, it's foam. Figure it out. Throw this one. Right. You know, because it's a stupid spot in the beginning. It's like, hey, we're gonna have a fake chair, so throw this one. You know, it's like they didn't think that like there might be a possibility that this guy's gonna find a look for. Because like think of it like this. Let's just say like they had a fake chair too, right? Then what if he couldn't find that fake chair? So is he throwing chairs around to find the fake one and then throw it at Matt Hardy? You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, so I'm just like, I don't know. It was a bad spot to begin with, and like Sammy didn't help it at all. And like I just feel bad for Matt Hardy because, yeah, he's definitely going to be out for a while. So private party's going to need a new manager. I suggest Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm down with that.
Taz, I don't know.
Taz. Throwing in towels.
Just to give him Marco Stunt. So let's move on to NXT. And Justin, I agree with you, man. I feel like the best match was the Dakota Kai, Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. And I do like Kai winning. I felt like going in, Rhea was just going to win. But I like the little plot twist. And I feel like Io Shirai and Dakota Kai will set up for a really good match, and I'm curious to see how, you know, Raquel Gonzalez plays a part. But to me, I know, Justin, you said her wrestling isn't there yet, but I feel like she's close, very close to being like a total package. But that she's like she's obviously not there with the wrestling, but I feel like she can play both roles, like heel and face, and I can see the charisma compared to the other girls in NXT.
Right.
And she's fine. She's fine too.
Hey, two fine girl. Your girl Rhea Ripley, man. Your girl, like the blonde.
I know. But Rhea's got her shot. She'll get her chance again. You can't let her.
She's money. She's too soon.
But she's money. Yeah, let Dakota Kai get her thing. You know, team kick with back to back title opportunities. So.
Right.
Shout out to them, but should we go right into the Pat McAfee stuff, or you guys, what else do you guys have for NXT?
Well, real quick, I just want to send a shout out to Keith Lee, looking dominant again. I mean, that match with Cameron Grimes, I thought this was going to be like a real quick kind of a hit. But yo, man, they actually had a really good match, and at some points I was amazed by Cameron Grimes going in there against Keith Lee and holding his own. But Keith Lee got that win, and then all of a sudden you had, you know, a Zordon-like promo from Karrion Kross. And it's just setting up their feud again. But, like, yo, shout out to Keith Lee. I thought that match was really good.
Dude, shout out to both, like, no, to Cameron Grimes, too, for hitting that moonsault. Moonsault, like, yeah, whatever that move is called. But he did it on Keith Lee. I'm like,
yeah, oh, it was like a hot body moonsault type of thing or whatever.
Speaking of, like, what's his name? Jon Moxley's balls. You got to look at, like, balls. Because, like, that man, if he had to do that spot with Keith Lee, I'd be scared out of my mind because you're going to get dropped on your own head. But I want to give a shout-out to both of them because it's a great match, but especially shout-out to Cameron Grimes for hitting that damn move.
Right, right. Yeah. And Keith Lee's balls. And Keith Lee's balls.
Yeah.
Cameron Grimes is good, man, for sure. And Karrion Kross, that video after his win, man, did you see all the bodies on the ground?
Yeah,
like, and I thought I think one person looked like a woman too. So, like, did he beat up a woman?
He beat the shit out of everybody. No, Zaylee, no.
It's like he showed up after the Hurt Locker came to Underground, and this is like what?
He's like, oh, this would be a good setup. Huh, get the camera over here.
Make sure you shoot it in dusty black and white.
Jimmy Snuka out here. He's like. He's like, you only beat her up? I can do way better than that.
The stable,
get away with it.
The stable of Jimmy Snuka and Mari Jannetty.
Oh! Called the ex-murder. No, okay, anyway.
All mysteries now solved.
Yeah.
Mari Jannetty. But anyway, Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, I don't know, his acting, though, I thought he was improving on it, but I don't know. I'll stop sitting on it. He's doing a good job. But Pat McAfee, man, come on, man. I like Pat McAfee, but every time he kept saying when he was on broadcast, oh, I'm in everyone's good graces. Dude, you said that like 10 times. I kind of saw this coming, or we all saw this coming.
Yeah,
you know, Undisputed Era just coming in and causing this feud, and you know, and of course, Pat actually calling him the short obviously made it even more clear what's going to happen. And,
right.
But good idea on WWE getting McAfee involved. You know, the cross marketing aspect of it. I mean, his podcast they just announced recently they just partnered with FanDuel.
Hey.
So he has a huge following in the sports world. And so just getting that audience to tap into NXT, that's going to hopefully I'm curious to find out what the ratings were. I can check that in a bit. But now they're going to wrestle at TakeOver. Did you see that?
Yep.
Oh, it's official?
It's official.
Yeah, Triple H went on ESPN. ESPN to announce it. So they're really making big strides. Pat McAfee is obviously a big name in the sports world, so this is going to be interesting. And Pat McAfee, although he's a punter, he was a punter. WWE didn't mention that. And like he just says, oh, you're an all pro. Of course, I have to mention that he's a punter, but he's jacked for being a punter, so he's a big dude.
It's funny, like it's like they had to show him punting, like Adam Cole, right at the end. And it's like no, like it's like everyone's holding their back, but it's like, oh, we got to do that spot. Let him go. Because it's like who punts in a fight like that? You know what I mean? Like.
Randy Orton.
And then did you see like the officials like try to like remind Adam Cole like, hey, the spot's coming. Because it's like in a fight like that, who really does a punt, you know? So it's like, and it's such a bitch move to do, you know? It's kind of like, and he just ran away. He's just like, all right, I'll see you guys later.
So like, you know how Adam Cole comes out with the Undisputed Era, right? So who's Pat McAfee to come out with? Is he going to come out with, like, other podcasters, like Joe Rogan and Sam Roberts and fucking, like...
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right. Is he gonna come out with like other kickers like Sebastian Janikowski's drunk ass? Yeah. Like Robbie Gould for some reason.
JJ Redick, who has a podcast?
Yeah. JJ Redick. Yeah, his ass come out like. I wonder like, or is it just gonna be like, you know, one on one, man on man? Because like.
That could be their stable.
Bill Simmons gonna come out too. Bill Simmons.
Yeah, Bill Simmons. Why not? You know, it's like all the guys from Part of My Take. You know.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, it's Big Cat. Like the fuck?
What the hell? You know.
I don't know, but like I'm really interested to see how they're gonna do this match because you know obviously it's like you got a wrestler versus a guy who punts.
So who just has one move, yeah.
He's got one move, so exactly. So he's like not exactly Cena, but like he's like, you know what I mean? It's gonna be like a mismatch. So I don't wonder how they're gonna do this, but and I like the dynamic too, where it's like normally Adam Cole's a heel, but obviously McAfee was a heel in this, right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, so, I gotta say the bar is set high because if you could be as good as Stephen Amell was, then yes. Okay, you're decent. But the bar to me is Stephen Amell, like. Yeah. If you could be just as good as him, like, you know, maybe Pat McAfee maybe might have another career in wrestling.
Don't be a Steve Mongo McMichael. Don't be him.
So the ceiling is Stephen Amell, and the floor is who? Is it
Brock.
No, the guy who teamed up with Braun Strowman? The kid?
Oh, the kid?
Dude, he was still better than Karl Malone. Karl Malone stuck his arms out and ran at the guy.
At least they got the titles, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Drew Carey's ass.
Drew Carey. Snooki was not bad.
Yeah, she was doing some Io Shirai backflips and shit, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was pretty decent. She was pretty decent. Cabs are here.
Things are looking really good for the NXT TakeOver 30, so that little milestone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Matt McAfee, that little ladder match with the North American title, Karrion Kross, mm-hmm. Keith Lee, among a lot more great matches, you know, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai. Yeah, things are looking good, man.
Things are looking good. And good, I just want to get you, real quick, I want to get you on the Bronson and Damian Priest meeting in the parking lot. I mean.
Oh, my God.
First of all, was Bronson coming from like a damn Toyota Prius, man? Like what? Like I understand you gotta you know save some money on the gas, but damn, how you gonna go fit in there? Anyway,
when did he come over there? Just say, I just want to say congratulations. Like, really?
Yeah,
shit talking each other. Don't come up with that like nice guy shit.
Just yeah, exactly.
With an arrow.
The imaginary arrow. But I give a lot of props to Damian Priest, man. Yo, that guy's got something going on. I really like what he's doing, and to me, he's up and coming. Do you remember when he was Truth Martinez, right? An ROH?
Yeah.
Do you remember when all we would do is just make fun of him because all he would do is try these like Eddie Gordo spots in the ring and he would fuck up?
Yeah,
dude, I guess it must have been ROH's ropes, but like, cause like, dude, he's improved so much, man. You know,
he's come a long way. He's definitely come a long way.
He's come a long, dude, a long way.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that spot in ROH when we all went when like he missed that springboard, like he didn't get enough lift, so he tried to like push on the. He tried to push himself up to make it seem like he went that far, but like he really just fell.
He was like doing his best impression of Lacey Evans.
Just wet her hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's he's definitely come a long way, like promo wise, like yeah. Everything that he does. He's been great on, like, I'm glad he's in the ladder match. So we'll mm-hmm. get to see him do some more stuff. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, he's like a skinny Steven Seagal at this point.
Right. And his persona, man, like, he's got this, like, Razor Ramon type of persona. You know what I mean? Like, I really like where it's going. I really like the direction he's going.
Yep. Things are looking up for NXT.
Right. So that's all I got. I mean, should we move on to the last call, or do you have anything else?
That's pretty much it, too.
I am good.
All right, so last call. Like I mentioned, there's only a few things. One that's pretty surprising. Tyson Kidd hints at returning to the ring.
What? For real?
He's currently a producer on the WWE, but on an Instagram story, he was recorded running the ropes and in the ring, you know, doing some stuff, in-ring things. Hmm. So if League of Nations Part 3 fails with Cesaro and Shinsuke, he can, you know, he got another option.
I guess it's like, you know, when you see people like Edge come back and Daniel Bryan come back, it's like it's like, you know, you can see that it's things are possible, you know, and like that's why I love seeing that Tyson Kidd's out there too, because like it seemed like he couldn't come back, and like now that he's doing this, it's like, yeah, it's great news. I'm like I love to see him back. We'll see what happens. And yeah, exactly. Like he could do like a jealousy angle with a Shinsuke and Cesaro, like a weird, really weird three way or some shit.
Jealousy, yeah. And you know what's funny? Maybe Tyson Kidd is like, because Tyson Kidd, he had a career ending neck injury. Obviously, same with Edge.
Yeah.
So Tyson Kidd's probably like, well, I don't want to look like a pussy. I'm gonna get in the ring. Take my shirt off.
It's like you moved out for with me, and you're with this Japanese woman now. Like, what the fuck?
I am that woman.
Yeah, I mean that's probably what he's looking at. He's like, I don't want to be no punk bitch. You know what I'm saying? You got Daniel Bryan coming back from concussions, and, you know, near threatening. I got to hold my own. I know punk bitch, Natalie.
I know no punk bitch.
I'm tired of you talking about two paws. I'm tired.
I'm just afraid if he comes back, he'll just basically be the white Shelton Benjamin, just kind of like, just employed, but not really there.
Right. Wearing suits. Just, you know.
JC Penney, 2-for-1.
Maybe it's one of those guys, one of those Antifa guys throwing rocks or Molotov cocktails at the.
That's true. Like, why does the Hurt Locker all have to look like they're going to the Kentucky Derby? I'm going to put my money on a Team Biscuit. You win, Shelton? Yeah. Why not?
Thank God. Like, it's like, oh, that's great. Oh, wow, Tyson Kidd. I never would have thought that. We had to bring this up. This happened earlier this week, but the Rock bought the XFL for $15 million.
Oh. His bank account is laying the SmackDown right now.
I don't know if maybe it's all the chair shots he took to the head and got confused. He's like, oh, I got the NFL for a great price. $15 million for NFL? Oh, it's the XFL, Rock. Can we pull this deal? So, $15 million is a big chunk of change. I don't know what's going to happen with XFL. Like, I can't see XFL doing well because it's just not comparable at all to the NFL. The NFL is just the top athlete, just like any other sport.
Maybe he's just recasting for the Game Plan Part 2. He's gotta find something new to do, like this guy. But yeah, you're right. Like the XFL, like I tried giving it a chance. I wanted them to do well, just because it's like, you know, it's twice already that they've tried this XFL thing. It's like, I don't know. It's
well, I mean, him spending the money, the $50 million to get this, I mean, it shows that maybe The Rock sees it as some type of potential.
Yeah.
It also shows that he is a true baller.
I don't know. I liken it to Michael Jordan spending a number one pick on Kwame Brown. So they're like, nah, dude.
Maybe he has like a soft spot for these guys because he's like, well, I probably would have never made it to the NFL, so, and he probably would have made it in the XFL. So he's like, oh, maybe he felt for those semi-pro guys trying to still make it out.
That's right.
Maybe the cast of the Gridiron Gang is in the XFL, so he's just hooking his friends up.
Well, maybe he wants to own his own corporation and be a true titan.
All of a sudden, the Chicago Enforcers are going to be coming back now.
He wants to be
the head coach.
A scorpion kick.
A scorpion kick.
Anyway, I'm kidding. All the Rock references aside, maybe he has something that he wants to do with the XFL, like, you know, his show Titan, like I was mentioning.
That's true. Titan Games is good. I mean, I feel like
DC, so maybe it might want to do something with the XFL. Maybe they saw something when it was, you know, shown for like maybe 2 days when it was shown. Maybe they saw that there's something there that they can do better than what WWE was doing. So maybe The Rock buying that, maybe a partnership, you know, who knows?
He knows more than we do in terms of this. So maybe he left the negotiation table walking tall because he got a good deal.
That's true. And maybe his partner the whole time is Shaw, Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, God.
I just don't know any other Rock movies. I'm trying to, guys.
After
XFL does well, he'll be walking tall.
That's all I remember. Like Scorpion King 1 and 2 or the Mummy Returns.
Maybe this business decision had a lot to do with his gameplay, sort of like Jumanji.
Justin, that joke didn't take a lot of central intelligence.
And after all this money, and after he makes all this money cashing in with the XFL, he can just stroll along and watch on the Baywatch.
The other guys.
He has enough money to be his own tooth fairy. Anyway,
be cool, guys. Be cool.
All right, Gridiron Gang. Let's move on to our sweaty session.
It's about time we get smart.
And now, sweaty session.
Fighting with my family.
After he signed that deal, he probably was listening to that song, Skyscraper. Anyway,
All right, so our sweaty session in light of the NBA restart we brought up in the beginning of the show. We're going to close the show with a wrestling, the basketball intertwined sweaty session. So we did a long time ago last year, we did a men's WWE basketball team draft. Now we're going to go with the women's. So yep. we're going to do a snake draft. I will have the first pick. Justin will have the second pick. And Charlie will have the third and have back-to-back picks because it's the snake. Montez Ford knows a lot about that. So we're going to pick like a starting lineup. I mean, you know, it's up to you if you want to go with positions or if you want to go play small ball or something. But my first pick, I'm a taker first. I'm afraid. Oh, yeah. With the first
pick. What's your team name?
Oh, we're an expansion team. We're still coming up with it, but I'll have it up in a second.
Cool.
But the first pick for the unknown name team for now is Bianca Belair.
Oh.
Now, I was afraid Bianca Belair was going to get taken on my second pick, so I wanted to go with the person I want, and because Bianca Belair is the greatest, the strongest. And she's fast. Justin, you mentioned in previous episodes that she was a track athlete.
Yeah.
She has a size, she has a strength, she has a speed. I would compare it to LeBron James. I mean, not in terms of greatness as like a wrestler, in her career, but just the physical attributes and
hairline.
Bianca is gonna play that LeBron James role. She's gonna be the go-to scorer. Too big, too strong, too fast. Bianca Belair, number one pick.
I like that pick. Nice. That's a good pick. Okay, I'll go second. My team is called Swoops. There It Is, for sure. One of the best WNBA players ever to grace the court. With my first pick. I know this is going to come off as kind of a shocker, but for my point guard, I'm going to go with Jazz. Do you guys remember Jazz? Hold on. Let me speak on this. because Jazz actually was a basketball player in college and high school. If you look it up, she was really good at it. So I'm going to go with Jazz, my sleeper pick, point guard. Probably plays a lot like Chauncey Billups.
Man, you can't play say it's a sleeper pick if it's the first round. Sleeper pick, Anthony Davis.
Zion Williams.
But yeah, Jazz, surprising pick for the number
two. I'm looking it up right now. She actually played for Toronto Raptors for 10 years. No, sorry.
Oh, that was Chris Bosh with the braids. That's Chris Bosh. With the braids.
Thank you for saving my joke. Thank you for saving my joke.
Oh, shit, dude. My bad.
No. You know, I said thank you because my joke sucked in you. Oh, okay. Now that I get the back-to-back picks.
Yeah, you have a lot of great picks.
Yeah, I'm going to call my team first. I got to think of a team name. I'm going to call it Pain and Gain because of the Rock.
Okay.
No, that was another bad joke. So my team name is in dedication to one of my favorite coaches of all time. So my team is gonna be called Thibodeau's Thoughts. So now let's get this done. So all right, okay. for the first pick of the Thibodeau Thoughts, we take the RZA, the Jizza. Oh no, we take. We take Charlotte Flair. I gotta take Charlotte Flair, and I gotta team her up with someone else because I'm making my twin towers, if you will. So my number one pick is gonna be Charlotte Flair, and then she'll be my let's just say she's gonna be my what?
Power forward or
LaMarcus
center?
Aldridge maybe like my. You know what I mean? Like the dependable. Actually, no, she's gonna be my star. She's gonna be my Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm gonna pair her up with we mentioned her earlier. For my second pick, I'm taking Rhea Ripley.
Oh.
She's gonna be my Aussie. Was she from Australia?
She's from Australia. Yeah.
Okay, I just got myself my Andrew Bogut. Hopefully better than Andrew Bogut.
You could have done Ben Simmons, but okay.
Oh shit. So yeah, I got myself my twin tower, so I'm happy.
Nice. Man,
Rhea
nice.
Ripley is a great pick. I mean. Yeah, she's tall, strong, athletic. She's just like Birdman.
So she'll be tatted up a whole lot more soon.
Yeah, they're like twins.
It's up my turn, right? My turn. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. For Swoops, there it is. My second pick. I'm gonna go with Billy Kay.
Nice.
Another legitimate basketball player, also played in high school. Shout out to her. Billy Clay can also play. And I wouldn't mind taking a charge from her. So that's my pick.
There's your Ben Simmons.
There you go. And she's really athletic. I feel like in terms of iconics, like Peyton Royce might have, like, you know, she's all right as a wrestler. But Billy Clay to me is like the total package. She can talk and she can wrestle.
For sure. Good call. All right, Charlie, I have to say, great GM over there because you took Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. Those would be my picks. I mean, I assume one of them was going to be taken, but not both.
Oh, so, I got Gasol and Larry Bird.
You got the Gasol brothers. You got the Gasol brothers. Yeah,
exactly. Well, the Davis brothers?
So my team name will be the Sparkle Splash Sisters, since you got the Splash Brothers.
Nice.
So we'll go with the Sparkle Splash Sisters and joining that team for the second round pick. Asuka. Gets chosen by the Sparkle Splash Sisters. So I feel like I harp on this so much about how quick she is, how athletic she is, like in the ring, how aggressive she is, although you can't understand her. And if you compare that to an NBA player, it's like Manu Ginobili. He is athletic, quick, aggressive, can't speak. So, and that's a great pick for my second round to play in my backcourt. Yeah, there can't go wrong with that. Asuka, and I feel like she's one of the most athletic people in, you know, in the, all of the roster. You look at Sasha Banks. I know she's like small. I don't consider her like as someone who I consider like fast. I don't think she's like a fast runner.
She's like a counter wrestler.
Sasha Banks, okay, you know, she's like a counter wrestler. But in terms of athletic ability of what I see in the ring, Asuka is up there among the top. So she's my backcourt pick. And then for the third round, I got back-to-back picks. I got to shore out my front court. So with the third pick for the Sparkle Splash Sisters will be...
Sorry about that, guys. Go ahead.
Will be Nia Jax.
Oh,
Nia Jax, you know, there's not many. If you compare to all the other WWE girls, there's not many women her size. So she's going to dominate in the post. You know, very, like, you know, she's going to get her own in the post. The only issue is her, you know, running up and down the court. You know, she won't keep up with that and possible suspensions from hurting other people. But she's high risk, but high reward. Nia Jax.
Damn it. And, oh, man, that was my pick, too, because she, in her background, is a legitimate basketball player as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, damn it. That was my, man, that was going to be my center.
Zach Randolph.
Robert Tractor Trailer.
More like Tremont Green.
Tractor Trailer. He's
Bunch of Reeves.
Oliver Miller.
Oliver Miller. Clarence Weatherspoon.
Derek Coleman.
Cedric Sabalas. But my pick, my third pick in the swoops, there it is. Since Nia Jax is taken, I'm going to go with Bayley as my small forward. She is also another legitimate basketball player as well in her hometown, San Jose. Captain of her basketball team as well.
Going with the facts,
because if there's going to be a short season like the NBA bubble, I just want to win.
There we go, Bayley. And remember, in this draft, you can choose legends as well. So
yeah, for sure. Jazz is a legend. Jazz is a legend, right?
Jazz. Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. Sorry, Jazz was the only legend we have so far, I believe. That's so right. Shout out to that pick, Bailey. You know, seeing Bailey in those basketball shorts, you know, might be
might be an asset. Might be an asset.
Just make sure you have some female refs, because you've had some male refs watch, you know, repping that. You'll be running off cross leg with a boner in my hand.
Now it's my third pick, right? So for the tail end of the third round, the Thibodeau's thoughts take. This lady is gonna be my JaVale McGee. So I'm gonna have a triple towers, and you'll see why. Her name is Lacey Evans.
Ooh.
This is why I say she's JaVale McGee, because she's also real athletic, but also, you know, kind of clumsy. So. I'm taking Lacey Evans, so like just to shore up my triple tower backcourt. So I'm looking, I mean not backcourt, front court. So I'm feeling pretty good about my defense back there. We're probably gonna play a 2-3 zone the whole time, so we don't have to move around.
Shout out 2-3 zone.
But now I really need a guard. So for my fourth pick. Oh, fourth overall, I'm taking my version of Khalid El-Amin and Mateen Cleaves, and that's that's my Patrick Beverly, and that's Nikki Cross.
Wow. Okay.
I'm gonna take someone with all that fury, and like, you know, someone like that could play for my team any day. Like that motor.
Motor. That's true. That fire. She's kind of thick too, so she kind of be like, who's like a thick guard, like a.
Khalid Al-Amin.
Yeah, there, no, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
You're right, like you said. Be like my Nate Robinson. Sherman Douglas. Sherman Douglas, there you go.
Darren Williams? Darren Williams?
There you go.
There you go.
The latter years.
Lindsey Hunter? Yeah, Lindsey, I don't know.
Lindsey Hunter?
That's a good pick, yo. Good. And that,
Scrappy.
And that's
Scrappy.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Derek Fisher, like, yeah. Derek Fisher.
Yep.
There you go. All right, so everyone seems almost complete. Justin,
you're where up we next. At? Fifth or no, fourth? Fourth, you're on right?
Fourth pick, fourth round.
All right, for my fourth pick. I'm gonna go with. I know this might be a shocker, but I'm gonna go with Beth Phoenix.
Nice.
You know, you okay. You know, kind of like Karl Malone, kind of like Anthony Carr, kind of like. Sean so Kemp.
Antoine Carr, he said.
Antoine Carr, sorry. Antoine Carr, yeah.
From the Jazz?
From the Jazz, where he had the little blue blockers on. The blue blockers on. You know, kind of like a Charles Barkley. You need that strong force as a power forward, you know? You need someone's going to crash the boards, get the rebounds. But who is athletic enough to run it up and down the court and make plays for themselves? So I got to go with her.
There you go. There you go. Good pick, good pick. The Sparkle Splash Sisters, fourth pick, already ready to go. The fourth round pick, Sparkle Splash Sisters select China.
Hey,
so China, oh, really China. Good. China is that's my steal of the draft because she's got the strength, she's got the PEDs, she's got the. I think she's got. She's a tall, strong person that's going to play up in the front court. Now that I don't have. A Charlotte or Rhea Ripley, they may not have the height, but she definitely matches them in strength. So China, being that power forward alongside Nia Jax, might have the strongest front court in the women's WWE Wrestling Basketball League. WWBL. There you go.
Dude, that's genius. You could, like, she's like very versatile. She could do a lot of positions, like doggy style, like fucking. I got the tape on her. I know. Xbox
knows. Really versatile in many ways. If you know what I mean.
No, respect. I'm sorry, China. I love you.
So that's I got the shore up. So I got my front court shored up. I have to go with my point guard and with hey. Another twist to this, we're going to add a sixth man, an extra pick in this draft. So
oh, nice.
Have that in mind. So Charlie will have two picks.
Okay.
Back as his last two. So the fifth pick for the Sparkle Splash Sisters. I'm going to go with Ivory. So Ivory back Ivory back then was well known for being one of the most fit divas. Even to this day, she's in really great shape.
True.
You know, amazing. Super reliable. She's been in many factions and many, you know, different types of roles in her career. Mm-hmm. So she has this veteran presence. She's seen everything along the block. She won't make any mistakes. And that's what I need in my point guard. I got Bianca Belair being my scorer along with Asuka. I just need someone who's going to pass the ball, not make many mistakes. Someone like Ron Harper. You know, or like a Sean Livingston.
There you go. Yeah.
Someone who knows her role as a point guard, maybe make a shot or two, but mostly pass to the better players.
There you go.
Point guard.
Very Sue Bird-esque. Very Sue Bird-esque.
So I got my starting five. Justin, can you lock up your fifth pick?
Okay. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. My fifth pick. For the swoops, there it is, team. I'm going to go with Tamina Snuka.
What, she played basketball too in Samoa?
Yes, she did. She did. While her dad was doing villainous stuff. She was on the court, on the streets, hooping it up with all the guys, crossing them over, just like Diana Taurasi on the schoolyard. She was getting buckets. I got to go with Tamina Snuka. Yo, Chica Ball is legitimate. Google it. She played.
There you go.
Superfly, Tamina Snuka.
Oh shit, it's me. All right. All right. You got me thinking because now that I know that I have a six pick two, I'm like, damn, I can't fuck this one up. So I got two more people, huh?
Did Justin steal your Tamina pick or something?
He
or?
Did. He t- I wanted her to be my Bill Laimbeer and do five fouls. So I was like, now I'm just like, I never thought you would ever get taken in front of me. Okay. So I need a good two guard. So I'm deciding between two people, but you know what? I'm gonna do it. My two guard is gonna be, I'm just gonna go with this all tall lineup. Screw it. Like, you know, like sort of like how the Bulls had like everybody 6 foot six and over, like, you know, to make that great defense. So I'm gonna go with Chelsea Green as my final starter.
Ooh. Okay.
I've seen many of her pictures. She's obviously very athletic. So like you know, just to build that mold of like tall players, you know, like, so I'm just gonna stick with my team. I mean, I know I have Nikki Cross as my only short one, but yeah, I still think I'm pretty solid with my four towers, if you will. Four towers and Nikki Cross. So we're gonna do box and one. Nikki Cross will cover their top person.
I mean, she's thick. She could do that. She'd be like Chauncey Billups. Like,
yep. Just chase after the top scorer. You know, I'll chase after your Bianca Belair. So now I got one more pick, right?
Yeah, you need a sixth man. All right,
my sixth man is. I'm glad you said sixth man because my sixth pick is gonna be Nyla Rose.
Ooh, Nyla Rose. Got the competitive advantage there.
Competitive advantage. Pretty much. And like, you know, I saw the movie Joanna Man.
That's what inspired this pick. That's what inspired.
He dominated. Pick. Like, you know, no, I can't do that. This is bullshit. So no, my real last pick is gonna be Ember Moon.
Ooh, okay.
I'm picking Ember Moon as my real last pick because, like, exactly. So, like, so just in case we do need a smaller body, you know, like who won't be starting, like just as spicy as a Nikki Cross, I'm gonna go with Ember Moon, and she's gonna eclipse the shot, everybody.
Nice. Maybe that's the Maya Moore of your team. The Maya Moore of your team. You know.
Yep.
Ooh. There you go.
So anyway, okay, that's my team.
So if you don't mind repeating, actually we'll repeat our teams after the draft. But gotcha. So Justin, your last pick.
My last pick, and since Nia Jax was taken, and this is just for a sixth man, you know, sixth person on the team, someone just to fill in the minutes, not really do much, just kind of sustain the lead or, like, you know, tire the other people out by defense. I'm gonna go with. Oh damn. I'm gonna go with the dentist Britt Baker. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I have a feeling she knows how to play sports. I have a feeling she knows how to play basketball. She's from Pennsylvania. I mean, she's got to know how to play at least football, baseball, one of the main three sports. So I'm gonna go with Dr. Britt Baker. And plus, she's tough. She's tough. She can take a beating.
Good call. Good call.
Yeah. Locking some defense, kind of like you know, Cynthia Cooper. Like Cynthia Cooper.
There you go. Like
Candace Parker? Candace Parker?
I can't think. Oh, Rebecca Lobo. Rebecca Lobo.
Rebecca Lobo. Okay. All right.
Very random. for the Sparkle Splash Sisters sixth man with a sixth pick in the final pick of a WWBL league. I'm going to go with Rio.
Oh,
Riho. So, you know, I feel like the defense is good. The defense, you know, you need a spark off the bench. You know, the shooting is not always going to be great every day, every game. So you got to get that spark, that Nate Robinson type spark. And that's where Riho comes in, being that ball of energy, dribbling the ball all 23 seconds of the shot clock and then shooting it, jacking the shot up, just getting everyone tired, running around.
Right,
and,
right.
I feel like you need that type of electricity on your team, and Riho. And having that compatibility with another Japanese player on the team with Asuka. So I'm just trying to – the pick was chosen for the camaraderie and the skill as well. So if you want to repeat – if you remember who you drafted, I'm going to go with – I'm going to list my team. The Sparkle Splash Sisters had Bianca Belair, Asuka, help me out here. Ivory.
Ivory.
China.
Mm-hmm. Rio.
Rio. I feel like I'm missing someone, but
Nia Jax. Nia Jax.
Oh, Nia Jax. Yeah, that's why. Nia Jax. So that's the Sparkles Black Sister. Justin, what's your team?
My team for Super There It Is. We had Jazz at point. We had Bailey as a shooting guard. We had Billie Kay as small forward. Then we had Beth Phoenix at power. Then we had Tamia Snuka as center. And my Tamia catchings of the team, Britt Baker.
There you go.
And for my team is so starting for the Thibodeau Stats. We got starting at the point, we got Nikki Cross. Starting at the two, we got Chelsea Green. We got Lacey Evans at small forward. Rhea Ripley at the power, and Charlotte is holding it down the middle. And in the my sixth man is gonna be Ember Moon.
Nice.
Great. Nice. Very good teams. All three good teams. Justin has on paper not a good team, but he has the background info that they're all basketball players. So keep that in mind. Listen,
keep that in mind.
Trying to vote on who has the best team.
That's right. That's right.
So tweet us out. Let us know who you think has the best team. Maybe we'll have a poll out there listing our roster. So
right. Look out for that. Keep in mind, we're talking about women, right? Because right now, in my opinion, in WWE, the women have been carrying that damn company for a while now. So shout out to them. Shout out to them.
Shout out, for sure.
Keep in mind, guys, my coach is Vicky Guerrero.
Hey, oh, I didn't know we could do coaches. We
can
do coaches.
I just made that up.
I just made that up. So
my coach, Mae Young.
Experience.
Well, she knows how to lend a hand.
Let me give birth to another one.
Well, I if we're going to go with coach, somebody motivate, you got to go with Stephanie McMahon, you know?
Dang it. That's a great one.
She might be too hard to play for.
She dominates the game.
Dang. Dang. Well, she definitely has a pedigree.
He's like, if you lose this game, you got to start my workout video.
Because you have no
four copies. I sold four copies.
Four copies.
You missed this free throw. You have to host Underground Week 2.
Well, guys, like Jay said, tweet us out. If your team, keep in mind, women's only. This is women's. Jay, where can they find us?
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Get Joe Podcast. You know, nearing we've been over 4,000 for a while right now. So thank you guys for the support. Charlie, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is Charty B. That's hi_Charty_B.
That's right. Shout out to SNS Vince, Matt, Kai Tai. Yo, we out of here.
Daryl and Garn, yo, we shout out to them too.
Screw you, Garn.
It's for you. Love you, man. Get your podcast on the ground.
I can picture someone walking backwards to the ring right now.
Oh, the Hurt Locker's coming. Hurt business. All right, we out of here.
This is the Godfather's music.
Only when he loses.